What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
We'll be live tomorrow in Cape May at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. Very, very excited. Some great friends are going to join us. Chairman Mike Donahue of the Cape May County Republican Party will be there. Paula Scanlon, Penn, University of Penn swimmer and rock star. She's always on Fox News. Also very active with early vote action. Dr. Victoria Coates. She's going to be there in person with us as well. So I would love for you to join us in person. We're going to have a great time, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So please join us and, come out and see us tomorrow. So the issue here regarding, I got to get to a bunch of other things beside those two big issues, but they are the big issues. And it makes me happy that President Trump and President Putin are going to sit down. But it makes me happy that we're going to be in Cape May tomorrow. And this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place. And yes, I do want to see you there tomorrow live. OK, and the Grand Hotel is the perfect place for you to go and, you know, make your reservation for your fall stay. All right. Do that today. Absolutely. I want you to do that and you'll have a great time. So, all right. As we look at everything that's going on in the world, CNN's Harry Enten is saying that the Epstein gamble by Democrats was a total dud. You know how they kept saying over and over again that this was a distraction to distract from Jeffrey Epstein. And you're still kind of hearing that, too, when it comes to the crime stuff. Like, oh, well, this is a distraction. This is a big distraction. This is a distraction and all the other nonsense. This is Harry Enten, Cut 13.
I would say that this is, from at least a political point of view, quickly turning into a dud of a story. What am I talking about here?
Which is wild. This has been for 3 weeks.
Exactly. Take a look here. Google searches for Epstein down 89% versus just 3 weeks ago, falling through the floor. It is no longer the top term searched alongside Donald Trump's name. That's been trading off between Taros and Vladimir Putin, with obviously the meeting coming up later this week. But at this particular point, the American people's interest in this story, it's quickly becoming something of a nothing burger.
So out of sight, out of mind, maybe, is applying here a little bit. But has it impacted? Have you seen numbers that has impacted Trump's popularity, favorability, anything?
No, not really. I mean, take a look here. Let's take a look at the overall numbers. Trump's approval rating in July of 2025, it was 45%. It's still well within that margin of error here at 44%. And you compare that to where he was in his first term at this point, he was at 37%. So he's 7 points higher, very much in a different political universe now, significantly higher in terms of his overall approval rating than he was at this point in his first term. And more than that, among Republicans, his approval rating is near a record high, hovering right at about that 90% mark. So no, he hasn't lost any of that base. And when it comes to that center of the electorate, he's basically holding on there. And his overall approval rating, 44%, is pretty gosh darn good for him, considering where he was at this point in term number one.
What do you think?
Now, the bigger problem, of course, is with the base with Epstein. But I think those answers are going to come when Chairman Comer starts his hearings in the fall on this issue. Actually, in the next couple of weeks, before you know it, it's going to be happening. But close to home, when the Summer of Love was going on and Philadelphia went super duper woke and did stupid things like put Columbus in a box, they also took down the Frank Rizzo statue. But George Baquetto has been fighting these battles against the efforts to rename Columbus Day Indigenous Peoples Day, to get Columbus out of a box. Now he's fighting to make sure that the Rizzo statue ends up in a safe space. And he joins us now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. George, how are you, my man?
I am well, Rich. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to have you. You keep winning, George Baquetto. You keep on winning.
Well, you know,
are you tired of winning yet?
Bad days. No, I'm not tired. I'm never tired of winning. No, you know that. But we've been fortunate.
Last week we were talking about how unanimous ruling by the court saying that Jim Kenney was wrong to change the name of Indigenous of Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day. You got Columbus freed from a box. So you two major battles there. Now we're talking about the statue of former Mayor Frank Rizzo, which at one point had been at the Annex Municipal Building outside of across from City Hall in downtown Center City, Philadelphia. After George Floyd's death, for some reason, they decided to remove that statue and they did it in the middle of the night, right?
That's exactly right.
And you know, what happened to where did they put it?
Well, I had heard a rumor that Kenny was trying or thinking of removing that statue. And I sent him a letter. And I had the letter, and I used it as an exhibit in the lawsuit. I sent him a letter saying, I hear that there's a movement to try to remove the Rizzo statute. I want to be assured that you're going to follow the Home Rule Charter and the procedures that have to be undertaken. You're going to go through the Art Commission. You're going to give the public notice, and you're going to give us an opportunity to have a democratic input. And he had his then managing director write me a letter back. Oh, of course, Mr. Paquetto, we wouldn't do that. Blah, blah. 2 days later, 1 o'clock in the morning, he hired a non-union rigger and they just yanked it out of the ground. And I promptly filed suit challenging that action. As you know, Rich, the wheels of justice grind slowly. It's been 4.5 years since we filed suit. We finally got, you know, a definitive ruling on the matter, and the statute's coming back. Now, the next issue is, where shall we build our factory? And that's subject to negotiations right now taking place with the mayor's office, and we hope to have an announcement very soon on a very wonderful location for the statue.
As I understand it, it has to be a private location. Is that correct?
It has to be a private location unless the city agrees to a public location. And we have been having negotiations with the city and with the mayor's office on a public location. And I'm optimistic.
The Simone Carr Museum has been talked about as one of those potential locations, George. Can you comment on that?
You know, that would be a really nice location. I don't think it's going to be that location, frankly.
Okay.
I think it's a good location, but not ideal. I think we've got a better location. By the way, let's say we're constrained to private property. There's a wonderful spot right in front of the FOP headquarters in Northeast Philadelphia, which is private property and which has plenty of access and viewership and everything, and we could put it there. But I've got an even better spot in mind, and we're working on it.
And you can't say right now on the radio for various things.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's
wish
okay.
I could.
I wish I could. But, of course, Frank Rizzo not only was mayor, he was also police commissioner. So outside of the FOP Lodge would make sense.
Yep. Yeah, I think that would be a good one.
Now, I read something about how it not only has to be on private property as it stands right now, but also like nobody can look at it or something. Like, what the hell is that all about?
Well, you know, the city is desperate to try to save a little bit of face on the thing. And they're trying to limit, at least the law department is, they're trying to limit, you know, where it can go. They say they're concerned about, you know, further protests and unruliness about the placement of the statute. To me, that's a lot of nonsense. They just want to try to save face. But that was the kind of the hangover of the old Kenney administration. We have a new mayor in City Hall now. I think she's smarter. She's street smarter, certainly. Mm-hmm. And I think she's more tolerant of diversity. And I think we're going to work something out.
That's good to hear. It's very, very good to hear. And I was thinking that, you know, in all the nonsense of the previous administration. And by the way, wouldn't that be the heckler's veto to say that we can't put a statue somewhere or we can't have a speaker come or something because people might protest? Isn't that what they call the heckler's veto?
Yeah, it really is. And it's just a cowardly excuse to try to aggressively change culture, to implement woke ideas. It's a crutch that they use. But, you know, we're past that now.
Now, George, you did win a huge victory here on behalf of the what's the official organization that is working on the statue?
It's the Frank Rizzo Memorial Committee.
You got the city to agree to pay, what, $86,000 in repairs? Is that right?
Yep. They have to, when they yanked it out of the ground in the middle of the night, they damaged it, particularly the base. And we've had the statute examined by our experts, and it's going to cost about $80,000 to fix it, and the city is going to pay for it.
Excellent. Good. Good work. I mean, this is so stupid. Like, I still don't even understand what the hell the problem was in the first place. Have they ever really said, like, what the issue is with Rizzo? Because, I mean, they haven't renamed the street after the mayor who bombed a neighborhood in Philadelphia. So I'm trying to understand, like, what was the issue with him?
Well, you know, Jim Kenney, and I've said this before, Rich, and unfortunately, it's just ever so obvious. Jim Kenney, who worked under Vince Fumo for 15 years, he was Vincent Fumo's step and fetch it, developed a deep-seated hatred of all things Italian, Italian-Americans, Italian-American culture. And when he became mayor, he set upon to literally punish the Italian-American community. The Columbus statue in Marconi Plaza, Columbus Day holiday. I don't know if you recall when they were first coming out with vaccines for COVID and they had to allocate priorities because there were limited vaccines available. Guess which zip code got the last priority of vaccines? South Philadelphia. So Jim Kenney has a pronounced hatred for Italians. And, you know, this is just one more example. He literally, when he was in city council, lobbied to have Rizzo's statue placed on the Municipal Services Plaza. But when he became mayor, that all changed. And he started talking about how Rizzo was racist and he stands for nothing but hatred and so on and so forth. So the mayor, in all his, you know, arrogance, decided one night he's just going to take it out. And that's not the way democracies work. That's not the way, you know, democratic governments operate. It's the way totalitarian governments operate. And, you know, it's not going to fly. Now, did he expect anybody to challenge it? I don't know. But we did.
Yeah.
And it took us 4.5 years, but we got it done.
Yeah, in totalitarian countries, they topple statues, but not in democracies, not in constitutional republics. We're not supposed to do it that way. That's not how it's supposed to be done. One person does not get to make that decision for an entire city.
And, you know, the Home Rule Charter, Rich, is very, very clear on this. I mean, you got to wonder whether some of these people ever read the Home Rule Charter. When you have public displays of artwork, there's an entire section in the Home Rule Charter that talks about what the do's and don'ts are. First, to be able to place artwork in the public space. And secondly, once it's placed there, if you want to remove it, the procedures you have to go through to remove it. And it's not union, non-union riggers at 1 o'clock in the morning on the whim of a mayor. That's not the procedure.
Right. Yeah, no, George, listen, I'm happy that the group is utilizing you, and I know how much time you put into this. And I wanted to have you on today when I read the story because, you know, again, it's you've been fighting woke in the city and you've been standing up for our people, the Italians, all these years now. And, you know, as a Paisan, I appreciate it. I know a lot of people do. And you've said to me, outside of the show, you always said that Jim Kenney hates Italians. But
yeah.
No, I'm glad you're saying it on the air, because I agree. I mean, based on every action that he's done, it's very obvious he does. You know, it's very clear, because Columbus represents the reason why we have Columbus Day, as you know, is because the Italian people, when they came to this country, were treated like absolute garbage. And the biggest mass lynching in American history was of Italians. And
that's exactly right, Rich.
Yeah. And the president at the time said, we need to change people's thinking about these people. And they picked Christopher Columbus as a way for the Americans to say, let's realize the contributions of Italians as they come to this country. Because there's so much hatred of them.
The crazy thing is, Rich, that if you go back to the original election results of Mayor Kenney's first election as mayor, you know which area came out the strongest for him?
Don't tell me South Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
Don't tell me that.
If you looked at the numbers, Rich, you would be astounded. And once he got into the office, he couldn't wait to just stab him. So we did what we always do when we run up against tyrants, we fight back.
Right.
And, you know, since the unboxing of the Columbus statue, there hasn't been one incident there, not even one, not even an egg thrown at the Christopher Columbus statue. They were so worried about, you know, the safety and the protests and so on and so forth. Not one incident. And there won't be an incident on the Rizzo statue either. It's all make-believe wokeism.
Yes. Yes. 100%. No doubt about that. And that's why, you know, and all these things have made national news, George. And that's why this battle matters so much right now, because the tide has turned at such a degree. This is another example of that. So I'm happy to hear you're having good conversations with the city and with Mayor Parker's office. It makes me happy. And then hopefully we'll have a good announcement on the new location of the statue of former mayor and police commissioner Frank Rizzo. Good work, my friend.
Thank you, Rich. And I hope to be able to make an announcement soon. And I'd love to make the first announcement of it on your show, since you've been such a great Philadelphian and a great supporter of all things sensible.
That would be an absolute honor, George. So please, let's make that happen, my friend.
Okay, absolutely. You got it.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Rich. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
My honor, George.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
George Baquetto is a good man and a fighter, no doubt about it. All right, so Putin and President Trump tomorrow. That's going to be the big meeting, and we'll talk about that as well as we continue going on here. The president wants a peace deal, absolutely wants a peace deal. Now, as far as Hunter Biden and Brooke Singman talked about this a little bit earlier today, and she mentioned how her story got picked up about Melania Trump going after Hunter Biden, and that story got picked up. Good. And you know why it got picked up? Because Hunter Biden defamed Melania Trump, and now she has threatened to sue him for $1 billion for defamation. Here's the audio. This is cut 18 of that sleazeball Hunter Biden trying to say Melania has strong ties to Jeffrey Epstein. Cut 18.
Epstein introduced Melania to Trump. The connections are like so wide and deep. Anyway, why do we think they don't want the files released? I don't know. I think, John, you know, that thing that John Holman says is like a long time ago, I think is the most accurate kind of assessment of them, which is everything is projection or confession. Everything. So when he puts out that tweet and he says, Epstein now is the Russia hoax or the Hunter Biden laptop?
The laptop from hell, which the Democrats swore came from Russia. No, it came from Hunter Biden's bathroom.
Like, I wonder if it works. Do you know what I mean?
So there you go. So she's going to sue his ass. Good. Good. I hope she does. And I hope she wins $1 billion. Now, speaking of statues, and yes, the city of Philadelphia is going to pay about $86,000 to repair the damage that was done to the Rizzo statue. You heard that from George Baquetto a short time ago. Another statue in Philadelphia that we all know is the Rocky statue, obviously, outside of the Art Museum. At one point, it was in South Philly. Now it's by the Art Museum, as you know. I read today, I think they're going to put another statue of Rocky, I think, in the airport, if I read that correctly today. But the actor behind Rocky, Sylvester Stallone, who is fantastic in Tulsa King. If you've not watched season one, watch it, because season two is coming out next month. And he's great. Well, President Trump honoring legendary actor Sylvester Stallone at the 2025 Kennedy Center's honoree nominee. The president visited the Kennedy Center to announce this year's honorees, and they include singers George Strait, Gloria Gaynor, Michael Crawford, and Sylvester Stallone, as well as members of the rock band Kiss, Cut 21.
Next, we look forward to honoring three-time Oscar nominee, Golden Globe Award winner, an action movie icon, and a friend of mine. He's a very unique man. He's somebody that doesn't do these things. I said, I wonder if he'll accept, because some people don't really want to be honored. They don't care. But he was very honored to be honored, I will tell you. He was he's a very special guy. A real talent, never been given the credit for the talent. There was nobody else could have done the roles that he did like he did. I'm not even close, and they've tried, and they didn't work out too well. His name is Sylvester Stallone. So, it's very few, almost, if any, people that could have taken a name and made it so incredible, like Rocky, Rambo, Creed, and others. But think of it, Rocky, Rambo, if you did one, you're good. You do two. And I'll never forget, I was a young guy, and I went to see a thing called Rambo, and it had just come out. I didn't know anything about it, but I was in a movie theater, like we used to go to movie theaters a lot. And I said, this movie is phenomenal. What the heck? And that turned out to be a monster. Rocky is Rocky. I mean, the way that happened, you know, Sly had no money, nothing. And he went around, and everybody wants to do a boxing movie. It's the most, you know, probably more than any other type of character, boxing. Boxing, always boxing. It's so great. And there's rarely been anything like this one. John Voight.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we claim him as our own, obviously. Yeah, the statue used to be at the Spectrum. That was at the top of the Art Museum steps, and now it's at the base of the Art Museum steps, across from it, basically, but I'm sure you've probably seen it. People line up sometimes for over an hour to take a picture with it. It's amazing. It really is. Hunter Biden is responding, by the way, to Melania Trump accusing him of defaming her. So do we have that loaded up?
Yep, it's ready to go.
Okay, let's take a listen.
Presidential litigation has arrived. It's lawsuit time. In my hand is a legal demand letter addressed to Mr. Hunter Biden from the First Lady of the United States, demanding a retraction of Channel 5's video called Hunter Biden Returns, in which Mr. Biden here makes some speculative comments about the relationship between Jeffrey Epstein, Melania Trump, and Donald Trump.
Okay, well, they knew each other well. They spent an enormous time together. According to his biographer, is that Jeffrey Epstein introduced Melania. That's how Melania and the First Lady and the President met.
Really?
Yeah.
Epstein made the intro.
Yeah, according to Michael Wolff.
Yeah.
And so I only can go by what people are saying, and I don't know.
He didn't make these claims out of nowhere. They come from another journalist named Michael Wolff, who is a biographer that actually spoke to Jeffrey Epstein. But now here we are, and I've got a $1 billion document in my hands because Mrs. Trump is seeking $1 billion in damages if we don't take the video down, and if Hunter here doesn't issue a formal apology to Mrs. Trump. So now we're here. Maybe to give you the platform to apologize to the First Lady for your statements that you made about her possible connection to Jeffrey Epstein.
That's not going to happen.
Now, let me just say, there's no way that guy can afford $10, let alone $1 billion. But let's play what he said before, because he definitely was implying a lot more than just that there was an introduction that was made. All right. Play what he said originally in the clip. Go ahead.
Epstein introduced Melania to Trump. The connections are like so wide and deep. Anyway, why do we think they don't want the files released? I don't know. I think, John, you know, that thing that John Holman says is like a long time ago, I think is the most accurate kind of assessment of them, which is everything is projection or confession. Everything. So when he puts out that tweet and he says, Epstein now is the Russia hoax or the Hunter Biden laptop?
The laptop from hell, which the Democrats swore came from Russia. No, it came from Hunter Biden's bathroom.
Like, I wonder if it works. Do you know what I mean? When he—
yeah, you see, now when you are in that one right there, what you're doing is you're suggesting a lot more nefarious stuff. That's what you're doing. And that's why, you know, it's not just like a matter of, well, they knew each other. No, it's not just that, dumbass. You know that. You know the difference right there. You do. All right, we got a lot more to talk about as we continue. Daniel Turner's going to join us next. The president made the comment today about the windmills being dead. And he talked about Jack Chitarelli becoming the next governor of New Jersey, which would be great. Fantastic. That's great stuff. As we continue along, don't forget, live tomorrow in Cape May, New Jersey, for our next and last live show of the summer. So make sure you come out and join us for that. All right? Because it's going to be a blast. And Paula Scanlon's going to be there. And Dr. Victoria Coates is going to be there. So make sure you are there as well. If not, you are going to miss it and you are going to hate yourself for it. So come out and join us. Now, when it comes to your next event, I want you to think about something totally out of the box, all right? And it's this. Book your next office, bachelor, bachelorette, or private party at Bob's Little Sports Shop in Glassboro, New Jersey. Bob's offers both men and women trained instructors, private and closed events that can host up to 30 people. Book a smaller group, 10 or less during business hours, and have your own instructor for some shooting range fun. Just call Bob's for pricing and details. No alcohol or drugs permitted on premises. Call Bob's to book their co-ed shooting event Sunday, August 24th at 1 p.m. Bob's also offers private and group lessons on introduction to firearms, shooting and cleaning classes. Bob's instructors are certified NRA and range safety officers. Firearms ID cards are not required for anyone attending events, and no previous experience is necessary. Bob's also hosts women and co-ed shooting events throughout the year. For new shooters or anyone interested in learning about proper firearm ownership, visit bobslittlesportshop.com or call 856-881-7575. Bob's Little Sports Shop, my go-to place, and your next great place for that lifetime memorable event. They love the Second Amendment, and they love our show. So go and give them some love. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from—
this is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All righty, as we continue on the show today, big meeting tomorrow between President Trump and President Putin. Lots on the line, including, by the way, energy. Here to talk about that and all things energy with us is the man who's fighting the commies every day. He is the founder and executive director of Power the Future on X at Daniel Turner PTF. He's Daniel Turner. What's up, my man? Daniel Turner.
Richard, it's great to be on your program. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us, buddy. So give me your first top line thoughts on the meeting between Trump and Putin. And what's at stake from an energy perspective?
Yeah, you know, in the last couple of days, the president, as he's talking about tariffs and trading partners around the world, he has emphasized that he wants these countries to stop buying Russian oil. And if you're Vladimir Putin, that's got to be unwelcomed sound bites, right? He's told India that. He's told China that. And if you recall, go back to the election last year and the one debate that they had, President Trump told then Vice President Harris on energy, you know, the European Union has spent more buying Russian oil and gas than they have given to Ukraine to stop their war with Russia. So, you know, you really can't have it both ways, right? So energy is absolutely essential. We've talked a lot on your great program. We've talked a lot about how energy policy is geopolitics and world peace, et cetera. But it's all coming to a head tomorrow with this Alaska summit. Everything, by the way, Russia has, Alaska already has. So we don't need Russia. The world doesn't need Russia. America should be plying the world their energy, their oil, their coal, their metals, their minerals, their rare earths. And if Trump is successful in this plan, you know, a Russia that is not selling their products on the world market is a Russia that can't fund its army. And that ends wars pretty quickly.
So really, I mean, truly, the what's at stake for them is if the president applies this pressure around the world and Russia, which is a gas station with nuclear weapons, loses all this cash and Europe stops buying from him because we signed this trade deal with the EU and we've now gotten rid of the ridiculous liquid natural gas export ban and we're now opening up our energy. I mean, this is now a choice for Putin. Do I want to end this war in Ukraine and come to the table and make money, or do I want to keep this going and basically lose money, right?
Yeah, and Russian middle class and elite, and Russian, we always hear the phrase Russian oligarchs, right? Russia's rich wants to have access to the world, not just the world's markets for financial ventures, but they want to go to Paris. They want to have a townhouse in London. They want to go to New York. If Russia can be isolated, it will be Putin's own class who is calling for an end in the war, because they don't want to be in Russia for whatever reason. They don't want to be in. They want to be where the cool kids are. And if they're not welcome to the cool kids table, they will stop the war from within. So you can hit Putin on lots of different areas. And I think definitely stopping his energy dominance is a key way to go. Look, the biggest violators here are the Turks. And Turkey's a weaselly little country that plays both sides. They're in theory a member of NATO, but they're the number one purchaser of Russian oil and gas, who then resell it to their NATO allies. I don't know where the NATO ambassador, where the NATO as alliance just says, what the hell's with Turkey? Whose side are you on? But Turkey loves Russia. They have a close relation. Why are they even part of NATO at that point? So, you know, you got to hand it to this guy, Rich, between crime in D.C. and redoing the Kennedy Center and the border. And now he's got Russia on his hand, right? Like, the guy's got his hands in lots of different pies. I don't know when he sleeps, but these are all issues that have been bubbling for years that the ruling class just kind of ignores. And Trump is going to fix things come hell or high water. And I love him for that.
What do you make of the fact that Putin's coming to us? Because I look at that as you're coming to our turf, like we got home court advantage. And I just, you know, it's the mob movie guy in me. If the meeting is held on my territory, I have the upper hand, you know?
Yes, I agree. And it's smart that you're doing it on the Air Force base, because they're not going to have protesters, right? I don't think Putin's ready to drive his motorcade down Pennsylvania Avenue. Mm-hmm. He's never going to interact with the American public. He's going to land at the Air Force base. The Air Force base is enormous. I've been there. It's outside of Anchorage. He's on American soil, but he's on American military soil. And I think that also shields him from, the public. He's in a tough position, and he knows he's not popular. Having him, parading him around the streets of any city, right? Where anywhere else he were to go, they would attract crowds that will just put Putin's back against the wall. He doesn't need to see people with signs yelling at him. This is a tough situation. And he, on the war front, Putin has the upper hand, right? I can't stand the guy. I'm not a fan of Russia writ large. I'm sure the people are lovely. I've always wanted to go to St. Petersburg, but I'm not going anytime soon. But you have to call a spade a spade. Putin has the upper hand. He's got a bigger military, a bigger economy, more people, more money.
Yep.
Right. So you're not going to win him over by telling him this is the wrong thing to do. Right. Like, usually bad people don't respond to that. No one was like, hey, listen, Hitler, like what you're doing is bad. And he was like, gosh darn it, it is bad. Right. Like, bad people don't respond to moral outrage. So
right.
You're so I think it was a smart move to have it at this Air Force base where he's safe and a little bit shielded. But you're right. It is our territory. It's our home court advantage.
Daniel Turner's with me. Power of the Future is his organization, and he does great work over there. I'm kind of switching gears a little bit. The president today mentioned windmills, and he talked about Jack Cittarelli running for governor of New Jersey. I noticed that Orsted is now looking for they're basically now, you know, hemorrhaging money to such a degree. They're looking for new investors. Another offshore wind plan in New Jersey is dead, but temporarily dead. It's good that these things are happening. However, what I worry about is the game that these wind companies are going to play is let's try to just run out the clock here until this administration is out of office.
100%. It's a great insight, and you're absolutely right. These companies had a lot of money that they can just sit back and bide their time. And what they're hoping is that they have a favorable administration in 2029. That administration, the Gavin Newsom administration, starts pumping hundreds of millions back into this, and they're back in business. And that's what they're going to keep their heads down. I think that's what all the environmental left is doing, right? The environmental left is having a bad time because their money is drying up, no doubt. The president's cut off a lot of their pipeline, their projects, USAID. It's also, I just heard the weather report before I came on. It's mid-80s in August in the Northeast. That's very weird. And it's hard to protest climate change when you're not sweaty, hot, and you know, it's kind of cool out. And so no one's ornery enough to protest climate change. And we haven't had any major hurricanes yet, knock wood. I hope we don't.
Right.
So the climate left's got a lot of bad strikes against them right now. But, yeah, the wind thing is never going to die. And that's why we fight them every single day.
And you probably saw that piece from the Free Press, how China hijacked America's climate fears in its quest to corner energy supply chains. China is bankrolling climate advocacy groups to weaken the U.S. from within. So basically, you know, they're trying to spread fear within the United States so that we get away from the energy that actually works and turn to green energy. I mean, it's a remarkable article at thefreepress.com.
And it's a brilliant strategy of communist China, because if they push climate change and they scare enough feckless liberals and beta men and weak Republicans, exactly, that you get them on climate. It's the slippery slope to socialism. It's the easiest thing to cave on. And if you get enough of them that they start pushing a climate agenda like Joe Biden did, what does it do? It drives up the price of absolutely everything. So your economy suffers. It makes your grid unreliable. Your grid suffers. Makes manufacturing almost impossible. So manufacturing moves overseas. German manufacturing is an absolute contraction, not just recession, contraction, because German plants cannot afford to operate because their electricity rates are close to 10 times what ours are, because that's what it means to go green. So if you make a German widget and you can't operate in Germany, what are you going to do? You're going to move to some province in China and use 9-year-old girls to look at your profits are back, right? So it is a brilliant strategy for China. But why are American leaders so afraid to just admit it, right? It's just easier to say, well, you know, climate change is a real risk and we have to be concerned about it. We couldn't have written a better foreign policy for our enemies if we had tried.
Absolutely, 100%. And you know, it's the indoctrination in schools. It's every level of that, right? I mean, it's at the earliest age where kids think of, my God, you know, if I don't recycle, the world's going to come to an end. And you put the fear into the kids, and then that's how you create this. And then, of course, you get these woke politicians who mandate climate change curriculum like they have in New Jersey schools, for example. And so you can see how this works. And then China funds these groups to a lot of money, and then they then spread the fear, because you always wonder where all this money comes from, right? I mean, like, you know, it's amazing. It's not just the kids knocking on doors anymore trying to raise money. The other story I wanted to ask you regarding the climate and the climate hoax is that, and speaking about young people, is the troubling surge in climate anxiety therapy among young people. Daily Wire had this story. One professor discovered that her students simply couldn't envision a positive future. So you see, the effect of this now is that we're and I'm sure, look, these issues with these kids probably go a lot deeper than just the climate. You know, it probably has a lot to do with how they were raised by people who are just generally miserable in life. But the fact that they need therapy now because they're terrified of climate change also says a lot.
It is, and it's a level of evil that God alone can forgive, because I certainly never will. And if you're a climate group and you're taking Chinese money because you know this is what they're doing, but you don't really give a damn, you're making a lot of money, you get to play the climate games because you like the climate games, right? You think this is cool. You should burn in hell. And I don't say that lightly, right? That you are torturing a young generation of kids, that you're giving them like real mental challenges because you make a lot of money. And these climate groups have magnificent offices all throughout DC. They have magnificent offices all throughout Manhattan. They do these fancy conferences all the time. And we've talked about it before, Dubai and Paris, and it's Brazil this year in Rio in November. And they stay at the Four Seasons and they hang out with Al Gore, and they don't give a damn that they are torturing a young generation of people because they're making money. And that's a level of evil, like I said, that is genuine evil that God alone can forgive, because that's why I fight these people. And it's not because I love fossil fuels. I do love fossil fuels. It's not because I love I mostly started Power of the Future because I hate these people with every fiber of my being, because they are evil. They are genuinely evil people who do evil things to this country, and they have to be destroyed.
Well, on that note, my friend, I will say thank you, because now I'm scared. Daniel Turner, always a pleasure, buddy. Just don't mess with him. Follow him on X at Daniel Turner PTF and powerthefuture.com. Thanks, my friend.
God bless, Rich.
You too, buddy.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so we are going to be in Cape May tomorrow, not in Alaska for the President's Big Summit, but we certainly will be covering it, and it'll be a big honor to have Dr. Victoria Coates with us live in person for the full hour at 6 o'clock tomorrow night to talk about it. So that's going to be great. And that is the big story brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneri of VeneriaDental.com. Look, with him, it's about care. It's about compassion. And when it comes to complex dental surgery, you don't go to the closest dentist. You go to the best. And that's Dr. Mike. So schedule your free implant consultation today, 856-786-2020 or VeneriaDental.com. And I want to tell you about my great friends at Tri-County Auto. I love driving American. I love driving my Jeep Wrangler. And I love Tri-County Auto because they are our official car sponsor and they stand with us. So before we head into our fourth and final hour, I want to tell you about the great specials available at Tri-County Auto right now. Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram with the gigantic American flag right outside of Route 422, Limerick, easy to get to, Collegeville, Phoenixville. It's just so easy to get to from everywhere. You can lease a 2025 Jeep Wrangler Sport 4XE for only $349 a month for 36 months. Or check out a new 2025 Jeep Compass Limited and lease that for only $329 a month for 36 months. Hurry in. These offers won't last long. But I'll tell you what, you're going to love the people at Tri-County Auto. They'll take incredible care of you and they will make you an incredible, incredible experience. They know how to take great care of you because they're honest and they love our show and they love our audience and they stand with us. And Brian Krieger and his team, they give back to the Travis Manning Foundation and our veterans every year at our Travis Manning Foundation. And that means a lot to me, and it should mean a lot to you as well. Check them out online. See their full selection of incredible vehicles at TriCounty.com. TriCounty.com. Remember, you buy American, you get to deduct that on your taxes under the One Big Beautiful Bill. So go see my great friends, TriCounty Auto, TriCounty.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.